I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. But most of all, we really, really like to self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
Well, Corey and I had like a mom date where we went to this park that has this really awesome creek. Ooh. And like a petting zoo, and so we had like a really great mom day where
we just
packed up the kids and just had a little adventure, and it was so nice and beautiful.
What animals?
They've got goats, they've got cows. I think I've talked about this one before, but it's like a great park because it's like they've got a train.
You have to like pay to get to
it? Yeah, it was like $3.
Oh no.
Yeah. So
obviously you're going into debt.
Yeah, over the train rides. But yeah, it was just like fun. It was like,
is it the place over by Pirates Cove kind of?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. That looks really fun.
It was really fun. So we had like a good like summer day, and like it was just, I don't know, one of those moments where you're like, oh my god, like this is like what we always wanted, was to like raise our kids together and like be moms together. And it was just like, yeah, like this is, it's happening.
Listen, eventually there will be cousins. I can guarantee it. So,
and it's so fun. So it was just such a good time. What did you guys do?
Mostly Keith, but I sort of helped. But I'll like brag on him because it's like been awesome. Keith started cleaning out our garage.
Oh, he started cleaning out the hoard?
Yes. And I told Keith, I was like, love you. I can't have our cars outside for like forever.
Oh, it's too hot.
Yeah. So he lovingly, and I thought this was really nice, he moved stuff over so at least I could park my car in the garage.
Nice.
Which I thought was really nice. But
did you guys like get rid of stuff, or you just found new places to put it?
He got rid of a lot of wood. And just, and it's,
what is with men and just like fucking dumpster?
I have this
wood,
random piece of plywood.
Like, oh, I found this in the dumpster. I can make something out of
it. Here's like, the truth though.
Stop.
Is we got rid of like storage units, I guess, like shelves and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But like it just needed to be placed differently.
Okay.
Like, so we got rid of stuff, sure, but it's like it just needed to be placed differently. And Keith has moved half of our basement over, and he's making a gym.
Oh, cool.
Which will be nice because, like, I do love my walking pad, and I love, like, I can store it under stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of makes it annoying when I have to, like, put it back and then pull it out. So
yeah,
he got all this, like, workout gear. And I was like, listen, I need you to make a space for this because I'm about to, like, lose my mind because it was starting to go where I do laundry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. The house is starting to look good.
Nice.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah. We need more space though. So, but yeah. So,
well, what are you going to tell me about today?
Well, I'm grabbing my notes because we use notes.
Yeah. I'm not memorizing.
Yeah. We're not memorizing things.
What the fuck?
FTKD. Yeah. I'm calling you out. But it's the murder of Barbara Mullinex.
I don't know. That sounds familiar.
So it was one of those things where I remember watching a show about it,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know what show it was. And then as I started watching, I was like, I watched this when I was a child.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah. So anyways, Barbara Mullinex was born May 29th, 1950 in Germany. And I tried to find what led her from Germany to the U.S. But I couldn't find much information on that.
Okay.
Because I always think it's interesting when they're born somewhere else and they come to the U.S. But I tried to, like, find the backstory of that, and I really couldn't find one.
Okay.
So Barbara was at a party in the 80s, and Bruce Mullinex said she walked into the room, and she just had this amazing personality. And
she lit up a room with her smile and charm.
No, it was more like she was so sassy.
Oh.
So it wasn't like the she had a great.
Okay.
She lit up a room. No, she was just sassy, and he was
love that for her.
All about it. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And he was like, "You have my heart."
Sassy lady.
Yes, sassy sassafras. I don't know.
If somebody said that to me, I would say thank you.
Thank you. It's the thank best you. Compliment I've ever received in my life.
Yes. So he just liked her personality because it was like she was sassy and she said things like they were. She was 9 years older than him. But
okay.
He didn't get it. Yeah. Younger men, why not, you know? But he liked who she was. So he liked her enough that November 1987, the two of them got married. This was Barbara's third marriage.
Oh, get it, Barbara.
So this was Bruce's first.
They couldn't handle her sass.
Yeah, he was 28 and she was 37. Well, it's about to get like a little bit
third
like,
time's a charm.
Yeah. I'll talk about how fun and sassy she is, but there was fun ends here.
Uh-oh.
Boom.
Okay, well, that was like 5 minutes of fun.
Yeah. So at this point, they were both living in Oklahoma City. And shortly after they got married, they had their first and only child, Rachel, together.
Aww.
So I watched an interview with Bruce and Rachel talking about her. So I got a lot of information from 48 Hours, which love 48 Hours. It always gives
a classic.
Yes. So by watching this interview, and they didn't interview together. They interviewed separately.
Okay.
So they said that as time went on, Barbara would be downing drinks. And Bruce said that when she would start downing drinks, it was just a night of verbal abuse.
Oh, God.
Sorry. And
I didn't mean to laugh at that.
I know. Well, I've been through that. So for me, like, as I was watching this, I was like, oh, I fucking get it.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. And I was like, oh, God, I wonder if she got the shark eyes.
She was, like, a mean drunk.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And they, like, that was a big thing that this documentary said was, like, she would be a mean drunk.
Uh-oh.
And all I could think of was shark eyes. Do you know what shark eyes are?
Like, when your eyes turn black and you're scary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're, like, emotionless and you can't tell the emotions.
Uh-huh.
My ex did that. And, like, as I was watching this, I was like, the shark eyes. Like, it was, but it takes a toll quickly. Like, even hearing about it, you're like, that sounds exhausting, but, like, living it, it's quickly, especially when you have a kid, too.
Yeah,
that like, I didn't have a child around, so it makes it a little bit different, I guess.
Yeah.
So, the two of them ended up getting divorced in 2002. It sounds like Bruce was like, we have to stay together for Rachel, you know, that kind of thing. He didn't say that, but I got that vibe. He wanted to wait until she was, it was the bibs.
Yeah, till she was older.
Yeah, till she was a little bit older. So when they were getting divorced, Bruce decided to move to California to just get away from Barbara, is what he said.
Shit. Yeah. Oh my God.
So the alimony and child support he was paying wasn't enough to support Barbara. Basically, Bruce wanted to do the right thing. So
how old was Rachel at this point?
Rachel, I think, was either probably 12 or 13.
Okay.
She's, like, our age. Okay. So, if that helps, like, paint a picture.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he was paying alimony and child support, but it wasn't enough to support her. And, like I said, he wanted to do the right thing. In 2005, he paid for Barbara and Rachel to move to a small apartment in California with him.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, because everyone was like, Barbara didn't have savings. I was like, in this economy?
Well.
Who can save?
Some people aren't, like, you know, planners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, she didn't get her drinking under control. But Bruce wasn't doing it for Barbara. He was doing it for Rachel.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, like, be with your child when they're growing and becoming an adult. Yeah,
especially in the teen years. God, those are some hard years. So they moved near Hollywood, and Barbara absolutely loved being near Hollywood. That's where all the action was and everything. So she actually ended up doing background roles.
Okay.
Mostly in, like, CSI. And nice. One of my favorite parts of this whole documentary is they're standing next to the TV and he would pause the scene and be like, that's Barbara right there. You can see her handbag.
It's like at the back of her head. Yeah. There she is.
Yeah. I was like laughing and then they like did it in slow-mo. I was like, oh.
Oh, there's Barbara.
I could see us doing that.
Yeah. Oh, well, if I was like a background character, I would show everyone.
Yeah. You'd be like, no, hold on. Well, that's not me.
That's part of my face, but right there.
Right there.
Did you see me?
Look, I am famous. Kind of makes me think of Monsters, Inc. when Mike Wazowski
was
TV. So, but yeah, I just was kind of laughing because I was like, I get it. Yeah. So, anyways, so they were just like, she was an actress. I'm like, well.
I mean,
sure.
Sure.
She was.
Yeah.
It's just one of those subjective terms. So, and I'm going to kind of jump around just a little bit, not anything crazy, but just kind of tell you what's going on and then the background of it. So on September 13th, 2006, there was a body that was found at Newport Beach Harbor Yacht Club.
Uh-oh.
And this body was in a bed sheet and the body had been stabbed several times.
Uh-oh.
Over 50.
Oh, yikes.
So just once or twice wasn't the case.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was a woman that was in her 50s, mm-hmm. like around that, you know, but you never know with water.
Sure.
And they were unable to really identify much about her because she had been in the water for such a long time.
Ew.
However,
what about teeth?
This woman had a breast augmentation.
Oh, the serial numbers.
Yep. So they took the implants out, they found the serial numbers. And they just have a very specific one. So they were able to get the serial number and find out where the surgery happened and find out who the woman was.
Okay.
So a little bit strange that nobody had reported this woman missing, right? You would think.
I mean, yeah.
With an explosive personality. I guess,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure you won't be shocked to hear it was Barbara. And yeah, again, they found it really weird that nobody was reporting her missing. So they went to the apartment that she was living at and no one was home. And I don't know if
she's dead.
Well, she was living with Rachel and Bruce. Oh, okay.
Wait, she was living with Bruce too, even though they were divorced?
Yes, in the small apartment.
Oh, I thought you meant like he got them a separate apartment.
No, they were living in the same apartment.
Oh.
Yeah, you kind of just like were cool with it. I was like, okay.
Oh,
damn, Denise,
I thought
cool
he
with it.
Just like paid for them to come out and like live in their own separate.
No. Okay. They were living in the same apartment.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. What a good dad. So I don't know if they waited till somebody came home and they didn't or whatever, but they got a search warrant like right away. And when they entered the home, nothing was really strange or out of place. However, the upstairs bedroom, there was a bed frame that was collapsed and there was no mattress on it.
Suspicious.
Don't be suspicious.
Seems pretty stabby.
Yeah. Or bloody.
Yeah.
They were able to find blood splatter that had been haphazardly cleaned, but it looked like people had tried to clean it, but
just kind of half-assed it.
Yeah. And detectives came to the conclusion that probably the mattress pad and mattress were missing because it was saturated in blood.
Yeah, duh.
If you remember from earlier, she was wrapped up in bed sheets. Uh-huh. So this wasn't a far away plan.
Yeah.
Fun fact, if you have someone wrapped in bed sheets, they're going to probably assume the person was probably stabbed or murdered in bed. I was about to say only stabbed. I'm like, well, there's lots of other things that you can do. So, unshockingly, the suspicion immediately fell on Bruce.
Duh.
And Bruce was like, yeah, probably should. Like,
he's like, makes sense.
Yeah. Like, he was like, I'm on their side about this. So he was really understanding that probably they would be wanting to talk to him, and he absolutely cooperated because he was the first person they wanted to talk to. And a divorce living in a small apartment with their daughters, not super common. So if you remember, though, he wasn't at the apartment. However, the next day after the body had been found and they were trying to talk to him, he came back and he had been on a business trip. And when he came back, he was really concerned about Barbara and Rachel because he hadn't even been able to reach them.
Mm.
So it was like he didn't know she had like died, or he did, I don't really know, but he like raced home.
Okay.
The next day.
Huh.
And he said that he had this horrible sinking feeling because he hadn't heard from them and he kept calling. No one was picking up. So he rushed home. And when he was walking up to the apartment, there was yellow caution tape all over it and the door was open.
Yeah.
Typically, probably nothing good happened.
Yeah, not a good sign.
So the cops told him that his ex-wife had been murdered. It sounded like he might have known something was going on. Like, or I don't know. But he was like, they told him he was murdered, and at first they were like, he's being too calm about this. And I was just like, I mean,
perhaps he's in shock.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big pill to swallow.
Well, cause also, aren't you worried about Rachel?
Yeah.
Like, so you're probably like, I need to remain calm. Yeah. Like for her sake too. So the cops looked into everything. Apparently Barbara and Bruce had been fighting all the time. But I mean, think about it. They're divorced. They're living in a small apartment together.
Like,
and he didn't even want her to, like, he didn't want to live with her. He literally moved to California to escape her. Granted, he came from California, from Oklahoma. So he was going to, a more exciting place. But again, the cost of living different, like, is so different. Yeah. But, they got in a fight because Barbara was complaining that he was spending too much money, which is like, that's his fucking money.
We're not married anymore, yeah. So you can't comment on that.
And then, so he would spend the money, and then Barbara would tell Rachel that he's like, you're going to have to whore yourself out on the streets. He never said that, but Barbara would tell Rachel that.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, who says that to your daughter?
To your daughter.
She's like, he's spending so much money, and he said you're going to have to whore yourself out for money.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, Rachel said that, and I was just like,
okay.
If my mom ever said that, I'd be like, and we're going to go no contact?
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. So that was like a wow.
Okay.
So people were like, if she, it was so abusive, why did you let it go on? And they were like, well, because of Rachel.
And yeah, but like, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in that situation. But like, as a parent, if the other parent is being abusive, like,
yeah,
wouldn't you kind of be like, and let's figure this out. Like, let's not all live together and endure the abuse. Like,
got to think about it this way, though. So we've grown up knowing that, like, it's better to be separated than together. But you got to realize, like, this is back in the early 2000s. So I'm sure he came from the, it's better to have two parents.
Sure.
So I'm like, now we know. But you know what I mean? Like, back in, like, the 2000s, like, better to have two parents. And
I don't know. It's just kind of, like, a weird situation to put your child in.
But Rachel said she was the girl at school known as having alcoholic parents.
Oh.
And I don't, they didn't say much about Bruce drinking, so I wasn't exactly sure about that.
Okay.
But she was just like, yeah, the kids at school would, like, look at me different. And I'm like, that really sucks. Oh,
that's so sad.
So it was such a dysfunctional environment that Rachel actually started to drink to cope with it.
And oh, no.
She started cutting herself as well. And Rachel did say that although she had really hard times with her mom was like really supportive. At one point, Rachel got pregnant at the age of 15.
Oh, fuck.
And her mom had like been through being sexually assaulted.
Oh.
And it doesn't say Rachel was, but she was just like, I'm going to help you get an abortion.
Sure.
Which she did, but Rachel said it was really good having her mom be so understanding with her at that point. And I was like, okay. So, yeah, she did have a closer relationship with her mom and did understand where her mom was coming from. And, yeah. So, like I mentioned before, Bruce was understandably the number one suspect. However, his business trip checked out and they were able to verify that he was gone on a business trip and there wasn't any weird contact before, so they were they cleared him as a suspect.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. And, you know, he did call his boss and he's like, my daughter's not. So he, like, he had a trail that supported him being really nervous and not knowing what was going on.
Okay.
So who else was in the house at this time?
Rachel.
Rachel and her boyfriend, Ian Allen. And it was said in the documentary that Rachel was spending a lot of time with her boyfriend and Barbara felt left out.
Okay.
Like he was getting in between them.
Okay.
Yep. And they said something that I kind of was like, that's weird. And then I'm like, well, they were like, she felt like she was worried about being alone for the rest of her life. So she tightened her reins on Rachel.
Yeah. And I think it's hard. It's a hard transition for, like, you know, you're the main support of your child. You're their go-to, like, for many, many years. And then when they turn into teenagers, like, they don't want to be near you. And they are, you know, as you
becoming
do,
their own people,
become your own person, and they want some freedom, and they want to have their independence, and that's just like part of life. But it is like a hard transition, especially if that's like an only child, where it's like, oh no, she doesn't like need me anymore.
Well, have you heard the stories of like weird like moms that are like obsessed with their son, and they try to make their son like the perfect partner?
So weird.
And then, like, people have said, like, my daughter was basically, like, a husband. I'm like, that's fucking weird.
There's, like, a dysfunction to that where they, like, if parents rely on their child in a way where it's, like, you know, they talk shit about the other parent or, like, you know, whatever. And it's, like, sometimes some lines can be crossed. But, yeah, I mean, I could understand feeling, like, left out and like, three divorces and you still, like, haven't found someone.
Yeah.
And your daughter's kind of like has been attached to you at the hip, but now she's, you know, growing up and got to fly the nest. And that's a tough transition.
Especially when that's your only child. It's not even, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see that, but also like, not healthy to tighten the reins.
There's good. There's parts where it's like, okay. And then there's parts where it's like, well.
I mean, at some point you do have to like let go of it and let them.
Well, because you don't want them to be like you, lonely.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
So Rachel's boyfriend was 21 and she was 17.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, 4 years, that's disgusting. And I'm like.
But like, as we've talked about before, there's a certain point where it's like, she is still a child and he is allowed to drink alcohol. Like, there's a point where that's.
Didn't we talk about that with the Ryan Poston episode? Yeah. I think we were like, it's just kind of like, because like Keith and I are four and a half years apart. So it's just
kind of still in high school and he's in college.
Like, I can't even imagine being like 17-year-old Keith being like, hey.
Right?
Like, what are we going to do?
Nothing.
Like, go to Sonic, you can't do maybe? Shit. I don't know.
Like, he can buy alcohol and bring it back home. Like, I don't know.
And I said in my notes, I know it's only 4 years, but I'm sorry. When you're 21, what do you want with a 17-year-old?
Yeah, it's creepy.
So, fun little side note. I think I've mentioned this before, but there were so many girls when we were, like, going to prom that had, like, 21, 22-year-old boyfriends, and you weren't allowed to come to the prom if you were over the age. But they would get fake IDs to make themselves younger.
Ew.
And I remember, like, I would tell my friends, like, you're beautiful, you're amazing, like, you have so many qualities to offer. But, like, a 21-year-old wanting you is really creepy. And, like, so many of my friends were, like...
Looking back, but at the time, it was like, oh, my God. I'm an older boy.
But I felt that way at 17.
Oh.
I was actually really proud that I was like, ugh, older people?
Ew,
gross.
You're a creep.
Yeah. Well, I also looked younger for my age. So I was like, if he's interested, I'm going to call Chris Hansen.
He's a pedo.
Yeah. So, I'm like, listen, you're great, but why are you guys dating? So I guess... Ian would help Barbara with chores just so he could hang around the house at first. So here's something crazy. At one point, Rachel and Ian had announced that they were engaged in July 2006.
No.
I said, how exciting for both of them, because at 21 and 17, it's definitely going to work out.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
It gets worse.
Oh, God. It gets
worse. How does it get worse?
Jesus Christ.
They made Barbara sign this document that she was giving Ian permission to be with Rachel in case he was found he couldn't be accused of statutory rape, and they signed it. Bruce did, too. And they're asking Bruce about it, and he's like, well, what was I supposed to do? And
it's not
like,
sign it?
Not give this man permission to, like...
What were you supposed to do? Not do that? I don't know.
I can't imagine, like, if somebody came... If I showed up with a 21-year-old, my parents would have called the police on him first and foremost. But I can't imagine them being like,
sign this paper, so...
Sleep with our daughter. Yeah, it was... Thanks. I was just like, oh, God. And he would carry it around. So if police pulled
him over... Like in his pocket?
Oh, Jesus Christ. And I was just like, the fact that you know what you're doing is technically wrong.
Oh my God. I hate that.
Yeah. So I feel like the breaking point was one night Rachel and Ian were out and she had a strict 1 a.m. curfew, which nice for her. My mom had me on such a strict curfew, like way past the age, like in my 20s.
I don't even really remember, honestly.
So I moved out and they were like, why would you move out? And I'm like, because this is fucking weird. Anyways, but at 17, that makes total sense. But she had a 1 a.m. curfew. And one night she didn't come home at curfew and Barbara ended up driving to Ian's house and absolutely making a scene, waking his parents up, all that stuff, and like screaming outside the house.
I see nothing wrong with this.
And Rachel said that it was super embarrassing and everyone was extremely upset.
Mind your curfew.
I just felt like this was a big like breaking point for them because everyone was like, it was a little over the top. So I've given some context of everything. So Bruce has been cleared from the investigation. However, the next people that the cops wanted to talk to was Ian and Rachel.
Sure.
And Bruce said it was really strange that Rachel was just gone.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to contact her or find her, for that matter.
Oh, my God.
So detectives did tell Bruce that they thought Rachel and Ian were involved. And Bruce was kind of like, at this point,
I mean, you got to check it out.
Well, he was like, well, she's not answering phone calls.
It's looking suspicious.
Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck. It's not a dog.
Yeah.
It's not a dog. So, I know. That's a different quote. I enjoyed what I said. So, cops got a warrant and they searched Ian's computer, like at his house, and found that they were trying to go to Tampa Bay, Florida. It was literally left up on his screen.
Oh, my God.
Amateur hour. What are you doing?
So they did it.
I said, okay, brave choice, but why?
Yeah.
Also, they were able to trace his credit card.
Okay. So did they make it to Tampa, or this was just like they were trying to buy tickets?
Okay, so when you go on a trip, you let people know, right?
Yeah, that's normal trip behavior. Yeah.
I don't let social media know because I'm like, my house is open.
Well, she would tell her dad. She's still a fucking teenager.
Yeah. So they were like, okay, you have used your credit card. You didn't contact anyone. Like,
weird.
Yeah. And they were able to narrow down where they were because he was using his credit card. And they threw them in. And Rachel's like, then they put handcuffs on us and pushed us to the ground. It's like, well, yes. What happens when you get arrested and on murder charges.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, if you're just getting arrested because it's Wednesday, like, they're probably going to be a little bit nicer to you. But, like, murder charges.
You guys were trying to, like, escape.
So, I'm sure this is going to shock you. What do you think Rachel claimed?
That Ian did it?
Yes.
And she had nothing to do with it?
Yes. She was kidnapped.
Oh, God.
I was waiting for you to be like, and she was kidnapped. She immediately folded like a napkin
I've
on her.
I've been held against my will.
I said she folded like a napkin on her fiance. I have a crazy feeling they're probably not going to get married.
Wait, they're still engaged?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay.
Like, I'm not even kidding you, Danae. They did an interview with the daughter, and she was like all flustered, but like in a fake way.
Sure, sure, sure.
Where she's like, I was kidnapped, like Kristen Stewart, just like,
oh God, just like really bad acting.
And I'm like,
he kidnapped me.
And even because they did an interview a few years later, and she's like, yeah, I just like, what? I was kidnapped. And I'm like, baby girl, you did it. Like,
yeah, like be so for real.
Yeah. So she pulled a gypsy and said that Ian was stabbing her and she could hear her mom screaming for her. And she walked in the room and was like, oh my God, Ian, what are you doing?
We definitely didn't premeditate this.
I wish I like had this on film because I like put my head to my
like a dramatic actress.
Like,
oh my God. Okay.
I hate to make this comparison, and I've talked about this episode. The girl that murdered Ryan Poston did a better job acting.
Uh-oh. And she wasn't a good actor.
No. Yeah, there's so much mediocre acting going on these days. So detectives did what detectives do, and they looked into Rachel, and she had zero injuries on her because she's like, he slammed me to the wall, you know. And they're like, she had no stab wounds. And she's like, why would I have stab wounds? He was stabbing my mom. And it's like, but if you're stopping him stabbing, you're probably going to have like marks on you.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like
trying to fight him. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be some evidence.
Well, they're like, they said she didn't even have injuries consistent with him pushing her against a wall, which she said he did a bunch.
Okay.
So, yeah, she had said that he was just super abusive and stuff. And they're like,
not tracking.
Yeah, just it didn't make sense with the evidence they were finding. They weren't like, well, it didn't happen. They're like, so crazy. He's like,
it's not adding up.
He's like fighting you, but you like have no marks or anything.
Sure, sure, sure.
But yeah, she was like, well, he was stabbing my mom. And it's like,
okay.
This interview was frustrating. So supposedly the only thing that Rachel did was a bystander because Ian made her help him clean up the crime scene. Figure out something to do with her and her belongings, so it looks like she just low-key moved out.
Oh my god. Okay.
Even though she like did not have the resources to move anywhere.
Yeah, like did she have a job even?
Background acting.
Like even at I thought that was Barbara.
Yeah, no, Barbara. They took Barbara's stuff. They tried
trying to say that she moved out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I thought you were saying they're trying to make it seem like Rachel just randomly moved out the same time. No, they were trying to make it look like murdered.
Yeah, they tried to make it look like Barbara had moved out.
Okay, got it.
Which background acting, I think at that point was like $50 for.
No way you're getting money to move out with that kind of like job. There's just no way.
Let's be really honest. Like, I don't think you're going to, even if you still love him, I don't think you're going to live with your ex-husband because things are going well for you.
No.
You know. I don't know. Either way, but yeah, he just wanted to make sure that they moved a lot of her belongings. So they come home and they're like, oh, she moved away. Okay, no reason to report her missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So surveillance videos also didn't help Rachel with her kidnapping story because it showed that they were like at a gas station. She's like free roaming the store and they're like.
I'm just like picturing them like in the parking lot, like holding hands and skipping. Like, la, la, la.
Well, she's like talking behind him and she like runs off to get
I was kidnapped. Like, girl.
Be so for real.
You guys are like making out in the parking lot.
Well, I loved the interview because the interviewer knew and she's like, why didn't you call for help? And Rachel's like, you don't know until you're in that situation. It's like,
and then it shows the surveillance and it's like,
she like went to get herself a Sprite and like set it down on the, like, you know, like yeah. If you and Steven, like when you would go into like
the gas station. Normal behavior.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved the lady interviewing her. It was like, you didn't ask for help or anything. You seemed pretty okay with everything. You don't know until you're in it. Good God.
Okay, sure.
So right after they did that, I love when they do this, they immediately cut to a detective and she was like, well, what do you think about giving her the benefit of the doubt maybe? And the detective's like, nah, I don't believe it. I love when they do that. They like shoot, like immediately go to the detective. Like, he's like, no, she's no a fucking way. Liar. Like the Joe Kenda. That yeah. was not a thing.
There's no gangs in Colorado Springs.
So she was like, well, he was threatening me with a gun. And they're like, he was not.
He literally wasn't.
Like, there was nothing.
He didn't even have a gun.
Yeah. They're like, nah. That's what my notes say.
Nah.
The crazy thing is that the cops actually questioned him. And he backed up Rachel's claims.
Saying that he did it?
Yeah.
Oh, what a stupid idiot.
And everyone was wondering why, but
he's like, I love her.
Rachel was like, we have to get rid of my mom. Because her mom was going to, like, threaten his family and stuff. Who knows? I just don't want you to get in trouble. They were like, this bitch was a sociopath who like
manipulated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically detectives were like, he was no use to Rachel anymore. They were both like she didn't need to like keep up the ruse. She didn't really care. She made him like take the fall for her.
And he did it willingly.
Yeah. They're like, Ian was no use to Rachel anymore. So she was going to throw him under the bus. And they're like, she seemed to be the mastermind behind all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The cops didn't believe it. Nobody believed Rachel's story. So she and Ian were going to be on trial for the murder of her mom. And they were going to have separate trials.
Okay.
So immediately, like, her little kidnapping story, they immediately were like, no, sorry, surveillance photos, all that stuff. So the lawyer that was defending Rachel said that he didn't find any proof that Rachel did it. And of course they didn't really find proof, but... Well,
she made Ian do it.
But they said there was a post-murder compliance.
Or not made him do it, but convinced him.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. But yeah, there was some post-murder compliance, something kind of like that along that line, because she did help move the mattress and did help burn it and everything.
Yeah, she's like an accessory.
Yeah.
At least.
So there were a few hundred texts before the murder took place, and it was from a very generic flip phone. Like, I was looking at it, and I'm like, those were the days. It's like, the T9 hurt my feelings, basically. Oh my
god, I miss T9.
Do you?
I'm so good at it. Dude, I could, like, type without looking now. Like, you can't type without looking on an iPhone.
You can't.
It's so annoying. No, yeah, it's dumb.
I'd be like, we should have,
like... Even when I'm looking, I'm still like, no, the I, not the O. Like, god.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I'll be like, Keith, we should have, like, a healthy dinner. And then I, like, look at it, and it's like, Keith, we should have Mexican food for dinner. Like, every time.
Every time. It's weird. It autocorrects.
Yeah, it's so weird. And it, like, sends to him, and he's like... Again, and I'm like, and I text like, no, I said healthy, and then like it texts, yeah, no, definitely we should do that.
Yeah, no, order it now.
It's so crazy. So yeah, they were gonna have separate trials. Okay, sorry, I went back. So she did help with everything, and there were a few hundred texts. The T9 was real, blah blah blah. They did have code words for things, and there was a text message that said run or Tuesday. And they were wondering if Tuesday meant murder, but they weren't exactly sure because they were trying to find text messages that show Rachel was actually in on the plan.
Yeah.
And I wish I could give them credit for doing a code phrase because, like, I'd be like, oh, that's smart. They killed Barbara on a Tuesday.
Guys.
Just
the look. Well, I mean, it's literally their plans.
Yeah.
Like.
And Rachel's like, no, 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 that was a typo. It was supposed to be run on Tuesday. The murder was never part of that.
Okay.
Okay, Rachel. So, Rachel's like, well, here's the story. Okay.
Okay. We're like listening. The real one this time? Or okay.
You be the judge of that. So, the story was that Ian had showed up outside Rachel's door. And she was like, oh my god! And had woken Barb up. And Barb was like,
Barb's
what are you doing here? What are you doing here? The Californians for Steven. So she thought he was going in the room to calm her down. Because if your mom's upset, you want to have the boyfriend that she's pissed about being at the house.
Calm her down. What?
Yeah. When my mom's like mad at me, I'm like, Keith, go talk to her. You know.
You know her best.
You know her better than I do.
What?
Yeah. So I was just like, I thought he was going to the room to calm her down.
Sure.
And she walked in, he was stabbing her. She was stabbed 50 times with 3 different weapons.
Okay.
So this doesn't quite make sense. You don't just like
quietly stab someone.
Yeah, you're not just like,
you don't just like walk in and be like, oh my god, you're stabbing someone. Like,
yeah.
What?
There was a regular knife, there was a pocket knife, and then there was a butter knife, but this was embedded in her skull
because
it stuck it through her eye.
Jesus, what?
And that to me.
Oh my god.
It's so personal.
No, that's really gross. I hate that.
And also, when you're doing frenzied killing, you're not having time to go grab other weapons.
Yeah, they had this, like...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Planned.
Gross.
And they were talking to a forensics guy, and he's like, this feels like, to me, this had to be 2 people.
Well, 50? That's a lot.
That's not just, like 5? Sure.
But 50?
That's so many.
With different
weapons?
Objects? Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
So there were no calls to 911. They were like, well, you didn't call 911.
Yeah, why?
There were no wounds of her trying to get him off of her mom or away from her mom because they said that with frenzied killing like that, she would at least have a few wounds on her as well as,
yeah,
like, you know, defense wounds, all that. But like I said, she's like, he wasn't trying to stab me, just my mom.
Sure.
And... they said there were numerous times she could have called to get help. There were 4 hours.
Oh, no.
When she was in the condo alone because he was disposing of evidence. That right there.
Yeah. Like, come on.
That right there.
So she like sent him off to do the dirty work. Yeah. She not only convinced him to kill the mom, but then was like, can you also dispose of her?
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So, also at that time when he was disposing of evidence, she sent him a text message that said, I love you.
Ew. Oh my God, that's really deranged.
So immediately right there, like, yes, the surveillance video of them in the like gas station. Yes. You were there for 4 hours alone and you didn't call 911. You, sorry.
And they when were you like, had an opportunity, like if he had like, if we're believing her story where he did this all on his own and you were just scared, you had 4 hours to call someone and you didn't.
And even if that's not the case, you wouldn't have stayed at the condo.
Right?
Like even if you would have just like left the condo and like hid.
Yeah.
And called 911.
Like that was your opportunity.
Yeah.
And you didn't take it. So weird.
Yeah. Crazy. So they did separate trials, like I said, and the jury deliberated for 3 days and they found her guilty of first degree murder.
Wow.
She was given 25 to life. And at one point she was up for parole in 2030.
What about him?
Well, however, in October 2022, after serving 16 years, she was released on parole.
What?
She's out.
Ugh.
Right now.
Oh my God.
Ian Allen was also found guilty of first degree murder and he was given 25 years to life. And I don't know many updates about him.
Okay.
But this is a story about a girl who her mom got in the way of her and her stupid little boyfriend and she had to kill her mom.
That's wild to me. Like,
yes, Barbara had her problems. I'm not going to say she didn't. Sure,
everyone has problems.
But she didn't deserve that. And, like, also, you know the Little Mermaid? You're like, her dad won't let her be with her true love.
Yeah, and like, as a little kid. Like, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, and as a little kid, you're like, that's so unfair. And then you're like, oh, you're 16. Yeah. You're staying in the ocean, little one.
But yeah, that's crazy.
It's such a sad story because it's like, everyone had their problems. No one was perfect in this, but like,
but really? And, like, to think that you would actually get away with that is, like, wild.
Guess what?
Like, you thought they were just going to be like, yeah, she moved out and randomly got murdered. Like,
even John List, who put a lot of thought and care into running away, still got caught at one point.
It just, yeah, it doesn't make sense. They didn't think past a certain point, and it's like,
what? You didn't, you think they were going to be like, we went to Tampa, and they're like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, totally cool.
Yeah, sick, shock bro. It, bro. That's so dope.
Yeah.
Have fun what? In Tampa. See you when you get back.
See you never. What?
Also, if I'm running away, it's not to Florida, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's insane.
But yeah, that's a story of Barbara Mullinex. So.
Well, we'll post pictures on our Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod.
On Instagram. And if you want self-care tips, saying hello, anything.
Just hit us up.
Yeah, just hit us up. And it's going to be at our email at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com. We're also on TikTok and Facebook. And we have some episodes on YouTube. We didn't feel like filming today. Suck it, everybody else. So
I think you'll survive. Kidding. It's fine.
Yeah. But please rate us and get us in front of your friends. So,
yeah. All right. Well, till next time, self-care yourself.
Self-care yourself. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.